We are in week three of our series, This Is Us. And Pedro started the series by talking about how every family has a culture. Culture is essentially a way of doing things. It's who we are. It's a way of being in a family. And here at Edge Church, we have a culture too that is values driven. When we talk about our values, we talk about air, we talk about accountability, integrity, and also about around respect. Now, do we live out those values? No, we don't. But we certainly strive to live out the values of Edge Church that we believe is based on the Word of God. We seek to aspire as followers of Jesus to live it out as best as we can. But nobody's perfect around here. Am I right? There are no perfect people. They're just people on a journey of following Jesus, and Christ is being formed inside of them. But I thank God that He is the perfect one, and He promised that He would be there and help us on our journey. So as a team, we spent time working through the book of Acts, going through the book of Acts, reading the book of Acts, asking ourselves, what was this early church like? Who were they? How did they live out their faith? How did they live out the mission and the mandate of Jesus? This was the beginning and the birth of the early church that Luke, the gospel writer, records for us. He gives us an account of the Acts of the Apostles. And we looked at what the culture of the early church was like, how they did things, and then we asked ourselves the question. I shared this with you 2 weeks ago. This is just a little bit of a catch-up. We asked ourselves the question, so what is our culture as a church? Essentially asking the question, who are we? What are we like? And we asked ourselves the question, not only how we do things and what we do, but are we living as followers of Jesus Christ at Edge Church? And we came up with our little bookmark, This Is Us. And I believe that it's God's desire as followers of Jesus Christ, planted here in this local church, I believe that it's God's heart that we reflect. Now, there's a word that I learned a couple of weeks ago, and influenced by Jonathan Fontanarosa, who was our speaker at our minister's conference and also here at our leadership lift. He used a word, and I loved it. I grabbed hold of it. He was the guy who also spoke about the genius of the and. And I grabbed hold of that. And he spoke about the word echo. Are you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, echoing what is on God's heart for our world? Are we echoing it in the way that we live out our vision and our mission? The definition of the word echo essentially means it's carrying the reverberation. It's the original sound and carrying of a person's voice. So there was an echo from heaven. There was an echo from the Trinity when they created the earth and mankind. And Jesus sought to live out that echo when he came. He sought to live out the heart of his Father. It was essentially carrying his Father's heart and desire and his attitude in how he served. But we pick up this echo, how Jesus' life echoed the heart of his Father in John chapter 12 and verses 49 to 50 when he said, I don't speak on my own authority. He had a mandate and a mission on his life. He said, the Father who has sent me commanded me what to say. He didn't come up with it. This was agreed upon in the triune, when the Trinity met. He says, I come to say and speak only what my Father has given me. I know his commands, and his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Listen to John 5:9. He says, I'll tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's a scripture reference. I'm not reading it out of the Bible. The print is too small, so I have it here in my notes, just so that you know. So Jesus was essentially echoing his Father's heart while he was living here on earth. He wasn't coming up with his own ideas. He was living on out what was agreed upon in heaven. In fact, we see how the apostles and the early church echoed what Jesus had downloaded into their lives when he lived amongst them and when he poured his life into them for the 3 years that he was with them. When he lived amongst them, Acts 2:42, the believers devoted themselves, listened to the apostles' teaching. They were echoing the teaching of the apostles who were echoing the teachings of Jesus Christ. They echoed and lived out what Jesus had taught when he lived amongst them. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, listen, and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, that is the breaking of bread when we gather as the church, and to prayer. Paul the apostle's life echoed what Jesus lived and taught, what he saw lived out amongst the apostles, 1 Corinthians 11:1. And I want you to think about this for a moment. When Paul could say, you imitate me just as I imitate Jesus Christ. And I was challenged by that. Paul could say to the church in Corinth, you imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. And my question to us this morning as followers of Jesus, can you go to someone in your world and say, will you imitate my life as I imitate the life of Jesus Christ? And the challenge to us, would somebody want to imitate your life? Would they want to follow and echo what you've got on your life? Or would they say, whoa, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not so sure. And I'm not talking about perfection. What I am talking about is spiritual transformation, where more of Jesus Christ is being formed in us as we ground ourselves, as we create the conditions through the Word of God and prayer and silence and solitude and the gathering on a Sunday, the reading of the Word of God, so that transformation can happen. And listen, all of that is not so that we become fat Christians, for the sake of others. Can you dare go to someone and say, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ? Philippians 5, Paul picks it up. You must have the same attitude. Your life must echo the very life of Jesus Christ, not your idea of what it should be like. The same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Paul lived this out to his very final days, and when we read in Acts chapter 20, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the work that was assigned him? It was the very work that Jesus was carrying out, that he carried from heaven and passed on to the apostles and to the disciples, that was passed on to the early church, that was passed on to us 2,000 years later. And that echo is still reverberating down through the centuries all the way to us today. And my heart is that we would carry the echo for the next generation. As I finish the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God, some of the stuff that I spoke about just before I started bringing God's word this morning, as a church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, everyone who is on the journey with us here, my heart is that we were collectively, corporately as a church, and as individuals, we would echo what is the heart, what is on our Father's heart to our world. Seriously, that is our heart. That we would not just come and take our seat here on a Sunday and that's it, I've come, but that we would be very earnest in terms of our discipleship journey, where we're saying, you know what, Jesus, it was not just about a decision, but it was actually about following you every single day, every single day. So we committed to the vision of following Jesus and finding others. Follow Jesus. Every day I get up and I do what he asks of me and find others. And we want to echo it in a way that will honor God, that will build into our lives for the sake of others. And so when we put this bookmark out, if you don't have it, you can pick one up at our information. You're welcome to go get that. When we put together our bookmark, we were very clear that as a church, we want to reflect, we want to echo the culture, the heavenly culture of God, the culture that the early church had, that it is always about others, that we go beyond ourselves, no matter how difficult or uncomfortable it may be, to see others know God. I think there is an incredible mandate upon our lives to pay attention to how we are living as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm dead serious. To ask ourselves, to check in with ourselves, so how am I doing? Can I say to somebody, imitate me as I imitate Christ, but we're not connecting daily with the Word of God and prayer? Because we've got to set up the conditions. You see, you can't transform yourself. I can't transform myself. I can't transform another person. I cannot change another person. I can barely change my own life. But this is the beautiful thing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he is the one who transforms and changes us. But your part and my part, just in case we think that it's by osmosis alone, your part and my part is that we must create the conditions in our lives. Are you hearing me? You make yourself available through the word of God and prayer, through the daily practices and disciplines of engaging the word, prayer, getting into the place of solitude so that the Holy Spirit can work in your life for the sake of others. God is wanting to see us change. He's wanting us to see that we are a little bit more kind and compassionate and gracious and gentle. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. And these are some of the things that we struggle with. These are some of the things that God is wanting to change on our journey. It was two weeks ago at our national group conference where all of the Assembly of God ministers from around the country, we gathered together for our conference. And it was also at our leadership lifter when Pastor Jonathan Fontana Rosa shared something out of Psalm 133. I was gripped by it. I was challenged by it because it is something that is sometimes so hard to live out. Psalm 133. Let me read it to you, and I think, there it is. How wonderful and pleasant. Just listen to the words. It's the psalmist, David's writing. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent. How wonderful. How pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Do you know that the overriding theme in these three verses, in fact, these three verses makes up the entire psalm. And in every single verse is the word harmony. And I said, what is this word harmony? It sounds beautiful. Who can do it with a little bit of harmony in their life? How about a bit of harmony in your marriage, in your relationships, in your home, in your workplace, in your inner world, in your mind? Just a little bit of harmony. And so it makes up the entire psalm. It appears in all three verses. And the definition of that word harmony is when we live together with a common vision, a common purpose. Listen, all singing from the same song sheet. That is essentially what harmony means. Because David, the psalmist, is reflecting on how great it feels. Isn't it awesome when there's peace and unity in your life and in your world? Even in your life group, in a local church, when there's peace and when people live together in harmony, when we are working together and living together in harmony, now can I say this? Right there, it is a challenge. If we think that unity is difficult, harmony is even more difficult. Really, where there's one beautiful sound that is echoing from this house and from our lives, it is so difficult. Because the truth is, when we have our ideas, our thoughts, our agendas, our opinions, and how we think things should be, and we try to impose that, it creates disharmony. And I'm not saying that you can't have your thoughts and opinions. You know, you can have two theologians working around the same text in the book of Revelation when it comes to the pre-trip, post-trip, mid-trip, and they'll hold a different view. Does it mean they're no longer followers of Jesus? Absolutely they are. You can hold to that opinion. But this is where a sign of our maturity is, that I'm not going to judge you if you have a different opinion to me, but that we can hold it as mature followers of Jesus. But when it comes to the mission and the mandate of a local congregation, God says, that's where I want you to fill it out. Harmony is when everyone is playing their part. You can bring your gift. I'll bring my gift with your personality, with my personality, with my life experience, with my family of origin. And we get into and we agreed in terms of the unit, that there's unity. There'll be harmony because we're singing from the same song sheet. Can you just think of an orchestra? There in the orchestra, you've got flutes and you've got a recorder and you've got the violin and you've got the cello. And or every single instrument is different. Every single instrument has its own unique sound. But when it's played off the song, same song sheet, there's harmony. And that's how God is calling us to live as followers of Jesus Christ when it comes to the local church. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, live in harmony with each other. Now, this is in the New Testament. David wrote about it in the Old Testament. Live in harmony with each other. Be united in thought and purpose. This is the will of God because there is a blessing. I believe that it's God's heart and desire that we bring our gifts. Come with your gifts. Come with your unique gifting and your background, and that we serve together in unity and harmony. And David said you will experience how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, for God commands a blessing. I want to highlight what I believe at each church is how God calls us to serve. We see this echoed in the early church. We see this echoed in the life of Jesus. But I want to show you how God has called us to serve here at each church as we reflect the heart of God. What kind of heart and attitude we ought to have when it comes to serving. Serving God, serving others. And my sermon title, This Is How We Serve, is that we would have an attitude that would echo how Jesus came to serve. How did he say, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. He put on a towel, he put on an apron, he put a towel and he washed the feet of his disciples. He says, you go and do likewise to each other. It's not about position. It is not about status. It is not about titles. It's about you bringing your gift with the right heart and attitude, reflecting the echo of heaven and the life of Jesus Christ and coming to serve in that way. We would echo how Paul served the early church. Do you know how they served? They gave up what they loved for what they loved more. They saw it as an honor to sacrifice for God and his church. They always brought their best for God, and they always did what was right, even when no one was watching, because that's integrity. I'm going to just do what God's called me to do, because they knew they were doing it for God. That is the kind of attitude and heart that God wants us to serve at each church. It is not about a position. It is not about a title. It is not about, this is my ministry, this is my agenda. It is you bringing your unique gift with an attitude and the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ and say, let's live out the vision, the purpose, and the mandate that God has on this house. This past Friday night, I was overwhelmed. I had the immense privilege of being part of a handover of someone who had served for 13 years in our Epic Children's Ministry. So that's a Friday night ministry that happens with our junior seniors, our primary high senior kids. This is little kids from primary school. And every single Friday night, this person served. I want to read you her Facebook status. Friday night, we were there, Pedro, myself, her leaders were there. This is what her Facebook status was last night. And that's the photo that's who they serve. Can you spot your kid's face there? They come to serve your children. They come to tell them that there's a God who loves them, that he's got a plan and a purpose for their lives. They create the conditions so that they can have that encounter with God. They create the conditions. They create the space, set up the space for that. Every Friday night of the school term for almost 13 years. In those years, I've had the incredible opportunity to learn how to lead, to love more, to lean into Jesus more than ever, to problem solve, to develop grit, to have fun. To learn that it's okay when the plan doesn't work. To laugh more, cry more. To be part of something bigger than myself. What an amazing team to have served alongside. Thank you to each person who has poured into me. And you know what the most beautiful thing is? Her leaders were there to see the handover. Tammy and Marco, Jules and Brendan, who's in George. But her leaders showed up, Timothy and Renee, who had poured into her life. She came walking into the church when she was in primary school. And she's leaving, going to have her first baby. They poured into me for praying with me, for laughing and crying with me, for listening to me and cheering me on in every season. When I wanted to give up and it wasn't so lekker anymore. And when the children were just, this was a difficult batch. Looking forward to my next steps, encouraged by the fact that no matter how difficult it is to say goodbye, I know there's still more to come. Because, and then in bold capital letters, Jesus. Hashtag Edge Kids for the win. Hashtag I love you. Hashtag thanks, bye. We give up what we love for what we love more. Do you think that those leaders, the university students, school teachers, they have a career, we give up what we love. And like a Friday night off. Hello. You've had a busy week and all you want to do, come on, let's be honest, when you come home from work on a Friday night and you make those hot dogs, all you want to do is to get onto the couch and put on a series. Anybody out there? Because you're just like finished from the week. But we give up what we love for what we love more. We know that it's an honor to sacrifice for God and His church and for others. This is us. This is how we serve at Edge. That's the heart in how God wants us to live as followers. But what will hinder this? What will hinder us living out that echo? What will hinder us being that kind of people in how we love and serve? Being prepared to sacrifice for God and His church for the sake of others. What will hinder us having the same echo and culture as ever? Number one is the love for comfort. It's when we make church all about ourselves. It's when we say, you know what, I've come to receive this morning, so feed me. In fact, some of us say, move me in worship. Can I speak to us as Edge Church here this morning? Don't come as a receiver. Rather say, God, I've come as a participator. I've come to participate in worship. I've come to participate with the people around me. I've come to participate in the vision and the mission and the mandate of Jesus Christ, because you've gifted me. You've done so much in my life. I am saved. I'm born again. I've been set free. I've come to participate in this grand vision that you have for us as followers of Jesus Christ, which is to go into all the world. Come on. Do you know that that's your mission on your life? And maybe we haven't told you enough from the front, but that is the mission of Jesus Christ. And so we've made it all about ourselves. Jesus demonstrated and he called his followers to not make it about me or about self, but always for others. And so I'm calling you as Edge Church, how do we serve? We make it all about others. We give up what we love for what we love more, because it is an honor for us to serve God. We prepare to make sacrifices. Is it just about the church wanting your time and your money? No. It's because it echoes the heart and the culture of heaven that reverberated down through the centuries to us to say, God, it's an honor to live like that. This is how we serve at Edge Church. Do you know that in Matthew 16:24, Jesus had to remind his disciples of this? Constantly he had to remind his disciples in how they were called to live, how they were called to serve. In Matthew 16:24, he says, if anyone wants to be my follower, my disciple, you must turn from your selfish way. In other words, it's not all about us, but it is all about you, because when we gather like this, God is doing stuff in our life. It inspires us something. It's a catalytic moment so that we can go out and live out our faith. But not just about the selfishness. How about that ambition inside of us that God calls us to die to? That goes on further to say, I've called you to take up your cross. That cross implied you're going to come suffer. You're going to come die. And so we've often made the faith about, oh my gosh, it's a life of hashtag blessing. And a life of we're not going to have pain, we're not going to have conflict, we're going to just cruise along this journey. Jesus called us to come and die. Die to self, die even to our dreams, to our selfish ambitions, die to our ego, and make it about Him and about others. The second thing that will hinder us on living, having the same echo as heaven, it's this thing of when we compartmentalize. We've not come to grips with eternity as the people of God. We've not come to grips with this thing of eternity. Satan would love to keep us in the temporary, that it's all about the now. Now, we live at our Christianity in the now, in the day to day. This is where the process of transformation is actually happening. But we call to live as followers of Jesus Christ always with an eternal perspective. always with eternity in view. Listen to Psalm 39, verses 4 to 5. A good couple of years ago, I preached a message called The Dash. The day you're born, and then there's just a dash. We don't know that end date. And we need to be reminded of that. Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Look at the width of your hand. That's how short and brief our life is. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. If you took a breath, that's our lives. It's what keeps us alive, our breath. And in a moment, that breath can stop. We can cease to breathe. Lord, remind me, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how brief my time on earth will be. In this week, I had to do a memorial service. I didn't know the gentleman. He was young. And I was so aware. Do you know, I find that funerals just a way of bringing things into perspective. And I always talk about Ecclesiastes 3. Because when God created, he put eternity in our hearts. We have eternity. So don't think that one day when you stop breathing, that's eternity. You're actually walking in eternity right now. You think you're going to cross into eternity. You're not. You're living out eternity now. And that calls us to pay attention to, so how am I living out my life? How am I doing? You see, when we have a lack of understanding of eternity, we make it all about the now. We make it all about ourselves. We make it all about the temporary. And maybe when we start living with eternity, it brings everything into focus. Everything. Somehow it just causes us to simplify life. You think, actually, that's not important. The color of that dress or the style of your hair. Well, it's not. Now, I'm not saying, for goodness sake, that you don't dress up and look lovely and that you don't keep your homes looking. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the deep awareness that God, there are people in my world, and how am I living that will impact their lives, that I could say to them, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can I say that? Family members in your world, they don't know Jesus yet. Family members in my world who don't. We have to see life beyond ourselves. And when we live with eternity in mind, it'll always cause us to ask the question, so what really matters? You're waiting for that one day thing? Or are you living full right now for Jesus? Are you waiting for that position one day? Or are you saying, God, I'm fully engaged with where you have called me to live out my faith here on earth? When we live with eternity in mind, somehow brings things into focus. Somehow we simplify life. And that's how God is calling us to live. How do we serve at Edge Church? With an eternity in mind. Everything that I do, every car that we park outside, every kid that comes here, and there were about 170 of those little things running around, those beautiful little, wonderful little things. Aren't they gorgeous? And they sit and they look up at you. When you pray, they raise their hands. I promise you, they got their hands lifted. Every little thing that we do matters because of eternity. How you serve, put it through the filter of eternity. God, what I do here, because one day, the Bible tells us, one day we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for how we have lived our lives, every single one of us. Whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or you're of a different faith, every single created being will stand before, because eternity is in our hearts. We've got to ask ourselves as Edge Church, because this is who we are, what generation are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we constantly living for the next generation? Living beyond ourselves. Living beyond the now. How do you outlive your life so that you know that you've made a difference? You've left your mark, your fingerprint, your thumbprint on where you are. You've influenced where you are. We've got to see and live beyond ourselves. Because honestly, eternity is at stake. The enemy would love to keep us in the temporary and the now. Just that argument, that nonsense, that thing that gets you so uptight. Put it through the perspective of eternity. Maybe you'll stop being upset and uptight, and you'll live for what God has called you to live right now. You see, it doesn't mean that we're not living out our faith. in the now. We are. But we're called to live it with an eternal perspective. We must value everything that we do, how we serve, how we live, decisions that we make, conversations that we have. Put it through the perspective of eternity. I think we would backtrack with some of our conversations. I want to invite you to close your eyes. We've got time in the service because there are a couple of things that I want us to reflect on. And in this room here today, I always, as I'm preparing, I'm reminded that there are four people on their journey, four kinds of people on their journey. Somebody who's not yet taken that step on their faith journey. Others have started and they're new and it's beautiful and exciting. Others have been longer and maybe a year. And then there's the mature believer who's been on the journey for a long time. But I want each one of you to reflect on this question. Can I right now, with all sincerity and honesty in my heart, say to someone, imitate me. Those people in my world, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me. Can you, with all honesty and sincerity, say, God, I echo your heart in how I live my life, in how I serve? Do I echo the culture in the heaven? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do I echo that? Or do I speak my own agenda and opinions? Take a moment and reflect around that. And let the Holy Spirit engage with you around that question. God, does my life echo the life of Jesus? Just where you are, I want to pray for us. We keep our eyes closed. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you're always speaking. We admit we don't always listen. But today, help us. Wherever it is we may need to make matters right in our life, give us the courage and the grace to do that. Father, I know a good starting place for my life is always confession and repentance. That is actually an ongoing practice and discipline of a follower of Jesus. It's not a once-off. Or we never get to a place we will not need to practice that. But I confess that my life has not always echoed the heart of Jesus. Not in the way I've served, not in the way I've lived. And so will you help me? Eyes closed, I want to take a moment with a couple of folk who've come here this morning. You've walked in and you're saying, Barbie, I've walked in, I'm anxious, I'm tired, and I've come here, and I'm here. And you're in the right place. I want you to know, because this is what we're celebrating on the week, and I want you to know that Jesus came to find you, that he chose you, that he purposed you. He has a purpose for your life. And he loves you. He's committed to you. That is seen in the way he hung on the cross. He demonstrated it there. And today I want you to know, as you've come in, he thinks you're precious. He says that you are. But today it all starts with us, like it started 2,000 years ago for the disciples. It all starts with an invitation. When Jesus said, come follow me. And then it's up to you to say, yes, come follow me and I will make you. Come follow me and I'll help you on this journey. Come follow me and I'll work in your life. And it's for you to say yes. And if you're ready to take that step, you're saying, Barbie, what more? Well, that's all I can say right now. But he'll help you as you take that step to know what's the next step for your life. But that's the starting place for you to admit your need for him. For you to admit that you're a sinner, you've gone your own way. but that you're ready to surrender to his lordship and to your Savior. Eyes closed, if you're ready to take that step, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you'd pray this prayer after me, dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I've gone my own way, but today I'm saying yes to the invitation to follow you. Will you help me and give me the courage to take the step today? It's a journey you call me on, and I've said yes. Now with all of my heart, I'm going to live for you. I'm saying yes in Jesus' name. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer, I would love to pray a prayer for all of us. If you would just raise your hand and say, Bobby, that's me. Anyone else on to my left, anyone else, raise your hand because I'm going to be praying for you on this journey that you've started. Fantastic. Right at the back, under the mezzanine, right in the front here. Wonderful. You can put your hands down and I'm going to pray a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, every single person that raised their hand, they prayed their prayer. Maybe they prayed their prayer in their heart and they haven't raised their hand, are saying yes to you. Will you help them as they take this step? Give them the courage to take this step as they surrender their lives in this moment. But it's a journey that you've called us on. I pray that you will help them. Give them the courage as they leave you, go home. They might even wonder, oh my gosh, what happened? But give them the courage. Give them the courage to surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.